Brother Wiggins has been on our staff now for 12 years, almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years in January. And so my first introduction to Brother Wiggins and Miss Danya was 27-ish years ago when my first time to ever hire a staff member was Brother Wiggins. I was like 22 years old, and him and I had the youngest staff probably of any church I know of as he came on board as our youth pastor, and he took Brother Clark's place, I think, back in the day. Yeah. And we worked together there at that church for several years, and when we started Heritage, he was our first associate pastor. So again, 23 years ago, and helped start this church. He was technically the first pianist for the first few weeks. And so that was the introduction. So over the years, we've remained really good friends. In fact, I consider him my best friend. And then we always joked about him coming working for me again. And so as the church, this church grew, we were needing someone to help more than just a youth pastor. So we needed an associate pastor. Me and Brother Wiggins joked about it. One day I just called him and said, I think we ought to really pray about this. And he was pastoring in Burnet, Texas, down there close to Austin. And so we began to pray, and the Lord worked it out where he'd come work here. Never thought ever he'd stay here for 12 years, but I'm so thankful he has, and him and Miss Danya. Miss Danya's been our church secretary for those same amount of time, 12 years. And what a blessing they've been, and what a blessing they are. So Brother Wiggins has accepted a pastorate in Mobile, Alabama. And they have already called him, and they already voted 100% to call him. This is a church that got hit hard by COVID, but the pastor's been there. He started the church 45 years ago, and just a great opportunity, just a great facilities, great area, a growing area, and debt-free. The church is debt-free, and it's just a good opportunity. So we're using this as a project of ours, as a revitalization project, to help this church get back on its feet. I'm talking about us helping Brother Wiggins financially for the next year. And I was able to raise him. We're around $1,200 from others' churches a month, and then our church will give $1,000 a month towards that. So that'll help, and then, of course, that church is able to pay him some, and that'll help make them up where Brother Wiggins can go there and be full-time at least the first year, and then we know it's going to grow. It's already growing. He's not even there yet. Really, the church is already growing. It's not even there. He's not there yet because they know a pastor's coming. They're excited about it, and some of the members who kind of dwindled off in COVID, some of them have come back, and I believe, and he does too, believe that some others will come back as well, and so God's good. Again, hate to leave him, my great friend. Hate him to leave, but knowing this is God's will, and he's explained it over and over again, preached on it even. Like that was a good message. And so, who knows? Maybe third time's a charm. Some come back and work for us again at some point. But I'm so glad for him. And wanted to let him preach this morning. And this will be their last Sunday. We're going to have a little fellowship for them tonight after the Christmas program. And then he'll be here Wednesday night, though, for the party. And he basically said, Nobody can fire me, so I guess I can do whatever I want. So the entertainment Wednesday night, you know, it's always really, really good at our church, like phenomenal. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be out of this world this time. So you do not want to miss Wednesday night for the Christmas party during the service. And that's a long introduction for my friend. I appreciate Brother Wiggins.
Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and I'm so thankful for the years God's put us here, and the next time I come back, I may be in a wheelchair, but I'll come back and be y'all's senior saints pastor. You need to retire, Brother Cox, so I can come back as the senior saints pastor. Maybe when I'm 80, Brother Cox will be 112 by then, maybe. But I've enjoyed it. I'm honored to have some of our Boyd firefighters here today. This is a quarter of my Bible study group, and I'm so thankful to have our Captain Boyd with us. His name is Boyd. They named Boyd after him, and before he was even born. And then Cameron, another one of our guys there, and I'm so thankful they're here today. They brought the tanker truck here, and it only goes 60, so they started yesterday. They made it here this evening. Thankful for that. Thankful for each and every one of you. I obviously can't say thanks enough. I didn't realize I was really your first staff person. That's just amazing and what you were getting into. And I never will forget my first day. I drove up at Lakeland Street Baptist Church in 1997. I pulled up and Caleb met us. Where are you at, Caleb? There he is. Caleb back in those days had silver teeth. And he had a low voice. And he's like, "Hey, Brother Wiggins." And he helped me unload and all five things that we owned. And I unloaded everything into the church because we were staying at church that time. And then Pastor said, "I got some doors. I need you to start staining." And I started staining doors, and that's been his obsession ever since then, is stained doors. And that was my first day on the job. I'm not lying. I drove all the way from Florida, 12 and a half hours, and I came home and stained doors. That was good. So that was my introduction to Pastor Crawford. And I've been painting ever since. But I'm telling you, I'm so privileged, and just to see how God's used the Crawfords and God's used this church to make an impact, not only in Hazlett, but in eternity. And the rewards for this church are going to be astronomical, and it's because of you. And I'm glad I was able to have just a small part of that, and to invest in lives, and you invested in our lives, and we're so thankful for that. And my family is ever grateful. We are leaving two kids here. Praise God, Brody got engaged. Everybody say amen. 3 years, right, buddy? 3 years. 3 years it took him to decide, yeah, I guess I'll commit to her. And that was great. We had a great day yesterday. I'm so proud of them, too. Shelby and TC are engaged. So we got two weddings next year, at the end of next year. So you're going to be seeing a lot of my wife, and you'll be seeing us. We're coming back, all right? We're not leaving forever. But anyway, Revelation, roll tide. Revelation chapter 22. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. It just kind of comes out. And by the way, I'm blessed to be going to a church that has such a great history. We talk to people in that town, and that church has a great testimony. The pastor has a great testimony. He's a great, wonderful man that has pastored that church 45 years. And they got good people. They got a good foundation. So we're excited to go to, but we're also sad to leave you guys, most of you. We're sad to leave most of you. There's some of you we can't get away quick enough, but most of you. No, I'm kidding. Love you guys. Revelation 22, if you will. And I want us to think, we're in the last book of the Bible. Remember, at the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, John kind of does some recapping. And one thing that's happened up to this point, we've seen the church age, chapters 1 through 4. Then we've seen a tribulation time. The book of Revelation covers more of the tribulation time than it does any other times. You get toward the end, it talks about the new heaven and new earth, which we're in. And that is after a millennial reign. You have the church age, which we're living in. We're in the last years, last days, last hours, possibly, of the church age. And then we'll go through 7 years, or we won't. If you're lost, you go through 7 years of tribulation time. After 7 years of tribulation, there's 1,000 years of millennial reign. That's when the devil is chained up, and he is, by the way, you ever chain up something for 1,000 years, he's going to be mad when he gets unleashed. And of course, God's a just God. At the end of millennial time, people have a choice, and you got to make the right choice. Amen. Now, not us if we're saved, but I'm saying those who come out of the tribulation time. But then we have what? Then we have a new heaven, a new earth. John looked up and he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And what a wonderful time that is. That's where we're at in this story, basically. But then, at the end of this book, John just recapped something that we've seen throughout the Bible. When you think about Moses, and you think about when he came and he said, "You know what? I see our people, they're oppressed, and Lord, I want to go." And of course, we know God called him and these things, but now he's finally ready to go. And Moses said, "Well, what do I say to them?" He says, "I want you to tell them that I am sent you." And that's all you need to know. And what's the most important thing about the word "I am"? Not that he was, not that he is, and not that he will be. It says, "I am." Whatever you need him to be, that's what "I am," Jesus said. We see throughout the Bible, we've seen that. And then when you get in the book of John, and I'll just give you these things, Revelation. But in John chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 8 verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 10 verse 9, he said, "I am the door." In John chapter 10 verse 11 and 14, he said, "I am the good shepherd." In John chapter 11, 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and life." In John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, he said, "I am the vine." And then you come in to verse 13. Look at it with me, if you will, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, he's A, he's Z, he's one, and he's the infinite number, right? God says, I am first, I'm last. But then you go on down, and it says in verse 16, and here's the title of my message this morning, is The Last I Am. The Last I Am. Notice what it says in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you of these things in the churches. Now the angels, if you go back to chapter 1 and 2, the angels were the pastors in the first seven churches of Asia Minor. These are not mystical people. This is the angels. And matter of fact, he talks about the stars were the churches. He explains it to us in the first two books of Revelation. But he says here, he says to the churches, and then he says, the last I am. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth thee say, come. And let them that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The last invitation in the Bible also, that John is recapping, that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he is the I am. So why? That everybody can come and drink of this water of life freely. Aren't you glad it doesn't cost? Aren't you glad you can't work your way into salvation? That is a free gift. You just, by the way, if you put a trough of water out here and all you have to do is scoop it, you don't have to work for it. You just got to receive it, that God is giving you his life in place of yours. In verse 13, we see this, that he is the beginning and he's the ending. But in verse 16, he tells us this. He says, I have the right to be king, but also too, I'm the bright and morning star. And we'll focus kind of mainly on that last portion, the bright and morning star. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day, God. Thank you so much for this church and, Lord, what it means to me. And Brother Crawford and, Lord, the staff that I've been able to work with, so blessed. And, Lord, the things I've learned here and be able to take to Alabama with me. And, Lord, hopefully change lives and change, Lord, even a city for you. And, Father, I pray that you get all glory, all honor, and take my lips and take my heart, my thoughts. Lord, be everything today. Be the I am of this message. Be the I am of this service today. I love you, Lord, and I thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look up on Google, which I did, sorry, the Google, I'm moving to Alabama. Everything's the Walmart, the Facebook. We do have Facebook at our church. If you want to watch our services after you come to church here, they are on there. You can ask me later. But wait a little while. You might want to let me get settled. But I was thinking, you know, so what is the bright and morning star? And I just Googled it. If you Google it, guess what comes up? Venus is the morning star. It's what it's called. It's called the morning star. And so when you click on that, there's a video. I love videos. Why? Because I don't like reading. I like videos. And I wish when I was young there was video books. That'd been awesome. I'd been smarter. So it's not my fault. Amen, Brother Clay. Video books have been great. But I looked it up and they showed a video and it was from, I believe it's from New Zealand. And a man done a time lapse of Venus rising, and it is known as the brightest star in our solar system. It is known as one that is dependable. And I begin to just watch this video of this. I mean, it's like a little sun that just rose, and it goes up, and it's amazing how it introduces the morning. It introduces a new day, and I begin to think about that with our Lord. But I also think that here we are in the end of the book of Revelation. This is it. This is it. As a matter of fact, he ends it with, surely I come quickly. The last words of Jesus Christ in the Bible, that he says, surely I come quickly. By the way, he is coming quickly. Yeah. But we also know that before, you think about when Jesus came to this earth the first time, and he was here in creation, he's always been here, but I'm saying in human form at his birth on December the 25th. I'm just kidding, okay? But you think about when Jesus first came, and what happened to our world at that time? Light was introduced to our world. 400 years, we call it the Dark Ages. It's still the Dark Ages. There was no prophecy and no new word given during those times. And the world began to fall apart, and the world began to, really, the darkness fell upon the face of the earth. And Jesus, as he did in Genesis, that the darkness was on the face of the deep, and all of a sudden a light shineth. What was that? That was Jesus Christ in the beginning. He was the light. And I believe that when Jesus was born, there was light given to this world. But now we've gone to over 2,000 years, and darkness is beginning to set on our world again. I began to read through the book of Revelation many, many years ago, and just looking at the different things that have happened during the last days. Here's some of them. I'll give them to you. Number one, God said he would restore the Jews to the land of Israel from all the nations. By the way, that's already begun. The Jews are going back to their country now. They're facing some horrible things today, but the Jews are there. And then I love this one because, Pastor, we talked about this when we were in Israel. In Zechariah and also in Isaiah, it says that the desolate land of Israel will again blossom and be fruitful in the last days. As we drove, I believe, through the Jordan Valley, I'm geographically challenged. But when you leave Old Town Jerusalem, they have taken their gray water and pumped it out into the desert. And I have a picture, if you want to see it, it's on my phone, of this desert, the Dead Sea behind it, and all these palm trees and greenery. They wasn't there 20 years ago. They wasn't there 10 years ago. That this is a new thing, and maybe it was 10 years, but this is a new thing. In the middle of the desert, this dry, desert, rocky, dusty place, they figured out a way to put greenery out there. You say, why did that happen? Because God said it was going to happen. And all of a sudden, Zechariah said it a long time ago, and Isaiah said it a long time ago, that it was going to be fruitful. Then we also see in Zechariah 12, verse 8, it says, God himself would defend Israel among many enemies and cause Israel to be mighty in battle. I think we're seeing that. I was thinking the other day, here's Israel compared to the rest of the world. Just a little dot, but oh, nobody can defeat her. And I know you would agree with me, but as Americans, we better stand with Israel. Amen. When you stand with Israel, you stand with God. And if we ever have a president or administration that does not, then we need to get rid of them. Send them over there to Gaza Strip and give them an American flag. I tell you what, let's send them. Let's send them across the way with a Trump flag. It says Trump 2024. Or send them to Detroit with a Trump flag. They won't make it back from there either. I'm not promoting Trump. Sorry. It's my last message. Matthew 24. An increase in disasters, earthquakes, plagues, and war. I think we're there. There's more cancer in our world today. There's more pestilence in our world today. The flies of Boyd are horrible. I'm telling you, I've seen more flies this year than I don't know where they're coming from, but all the new people moving in from the city brought them with them. I don't know. But I'm telling you, look across our world today, and I'm going to be a prophet. You ready? Next year will be the craziest hurricane season for the Gulf Coast because I'm moving back there. The last time they had was like 1997 when I moved. It's crazy. I bring hurricanes. That's what I do. I bring storms. Matthew 24, a rise in false religions, deception and claiming to be Christ and leading those away from the faith. Daniel chapter 12, an explosion of knowledge and travel. Read it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it talks about it, knowledge and travel. You could travel anywhere today. If you live in Texas, you can fly anywhere in America in 2 hours or 3 hours at the most. It's crazy. We see an increase of wickedness and decrease of moral as it was in the days of Noah, as Matthew 24 tells us. God's people will be persecuted, hated, and killed. We don't see it much here in America, but in other places of our world, Christians are being persecuted every day for what they believe. Ezekiel 38, verse 39, you'll see the rise of Gog and Magog. You'll see the alliance with Russia, Turkey, and Iran, along with others, against Israel in the last days. Wait for it, China, here they come. The Middle East will have a 7-year peace covenant, and that'll be during the tribulation time in Daniel chapter 9. There will be also during the tribulation time, there'll be establishment of a third temple. By the way, they have everything ready to go. They have anointed the priest already. They have the red heifer now, thanks to Texas. We sent it over there. It's all ready to go. The candelabra's already there. Everything's ready for the new temple. They just need a leader, and the Antichrist that will show up on the scene, and he will cover that. And then the last thing we see is in Revelation 13, a global financial system. In other words, you got to do away with cash. By the way, how many places you go into now and they go, we don't take cash? Like, huh? I was on an airplane not too long ago and I heard her say, we don't take cash. I'm like, oh, that's great. Thank you, American Airlines, for starting the Mark of the Beast. I don't know, it may not have been American. Some of y'all work for American, I love y'all. And a mark of the beast will be established. What a dark time. What a dark time that our world's going to go through. And by the way, if you're a Christian here this morning, you're going to be raptured out of here. After Revelation chapter 4, there's no mention of the church. Why? Because we're out of here. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. You're still going to be raptured out. So you can either be right or you can just join the crowd, right? There's some people I wish the Lord would leave down here for 7 years, and then they'd appreciate being pre-trib. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord's going to take us out of here, and we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and that bema seat of Christ, and we'll receive reward and loss for the works and the motivations that we had here. But thank God, as the Bible tells us, that we'll not lose our life. Why? Because Jesus paid for our life. The world's going to, at that moment, the moment that at the rapture, the world's going to face the most turbulent time it's ever seen. That's why it's called tribulation time. Why? Because all of the saints are out of here. All of this Christian influence is out of here. For the moment, there's going to be nothing but lost people. Could you imagine if everybody was lost left here on this world and there's no law, there's no military, there's no government? The government's going to keep going. They won't even know the rapture's happened. I'd be like, why are our taxes down? Why are we not getting this much money? Oh, a lot of people left the earth. Where'd they go? Well, the aliens got them. I think that's what they'll use, probably. Beam me up, Scotty, you know. And we don't know. Politicians can come up with some great things anyway. So, I'm just hitting it all today, buddy. Wait till Wednesday night. We'll finish this baby off with a boom. But I think about, and I'm trying not to make too light of it, but, you know, this world's going to be in chaos for 7 years. Now, the first 3.5 years is a false peace to set up in Jerusalem. The Antichrist is going to say, hey, we're going to protect you Jews. We're going to protect Israel. And then all of a sudden, he's going to tear up that peace treaty. He's going to sit on the throne that was made for a king and not for an Antichrist, but he is going to sit on that throne there in Israel. And in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule and he's going to reign. And if you don't worship him, guess what? You're going to be killed. You're going to be slaughtered for your belief or your non-belief in him. But I want to tell you something today is that there's good news. Because God reminds us in this chapter, as the last I am is read, he says this. He said, I am the root of David. And the offspring of David. I am the root. What is the word root means? It means that which all else grows from. You see, before David was, Christ was. That's why he can be the I am. He was before David. He was king long before David was ever king. And by the way, he's going to be king long after David has been gone. And he is king today. And you can rest in him and you can put your faith in him. Why? Because he is and he will always be King of kings and Lord of lords. The reason that they crucified him was because he claimed to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is the root. I love that. But he also said, I am the offspring. What does that mean? Is that he is that which has a lineage. Offspring simply points us to the word lineage. When Mary and Joseph came into Bethlehem, they came there because they were of the lineage of David. See, God doesn't make no mistakes. God knew exactly where they needed to be at the right time in Bethlehem. You want to know why? Because he prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And God makes no mistakes. Why? Because he is the offspring of David. He was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because God wanted him in the city of David at that time. It was called the city of David at that time. Because God makes no mistakes. I love that. I love that here was Jesus Christ born. You know, another fascinating thing about the Lord's birth is, and we know that this was probably a little bit time after, there were some guys called the wise men that came from East. And the Bible tells us that the reason that they knew that Jesus, now remember, most wise men in those days was astrologers. They paid attention to stars and movement and things like that. And the Bible tells us the only time in the Bible it uses the word his star appeared in the East. That means Jesus' star. I don't, which one was it? It was his. It had to be a noticeable star. It had to be something that was close enough, and it just may have been the glory of God, right? And just shining in like it always has been shining. And they saw it, and they saw this glow, and they saw this, and they said, that's different. That's something that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And here comes Jesus as what? The Son of God being born in Bethlehem. I love the Christmas story, and I'm reminded that when it tells us here in the Scripture, it says, and the bright and morning star. See, that star to the wise men had to have been different because they noticed it. The glory of God shining and putting a light upon the area where Jesus was to be born. Could you imagine where Jesus was born? And here Mary and Joseph are and Jesus, and it's almost like a spotlight coming down, like it was in the temple, telling God approved of Jesus Christ, which we know he did. I love this. What does bright mean? Bright means, talks about its visibility. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus is the bright and morning star. What does the morning star talk about? The morning star talks about a new day that's dawning. And this new day that's dawning, when Venus comes up, it means that daylight and the dawn is right behind it, that the new day is beginning. And can I remind us, though, we're living in dark ages and dark times. The bright and morning star is about to arise. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us he's going to rise with healing in his wings. And the Bible tells us that the day star arises in our hearts. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus gives us victory. The first time Jesus came, he gave us victory over sin. The next time he comes, he's going to give us victory over the world. Hallelujah. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Can I remind you in two things this morning? Number one, this bright, Jesus said, I am the root, the offspring of David, reminding us that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The bright and morning star, he's telling us there is a new day dawning. There is a new day coming for you, that one day we're going to be taken out of this world and there's going to be a new world established for us. Can I remind you two things this morning? Number one, there's hope in Jesus Christ. The Christmas season should be a reminder. By the way, what do you put on top of the Christmas tree? You put a star. You ever see lights? Why do we put lights out for Christmas? Well, because they're expensive and Walmart wants to sell them. Sorry, Walmart. I have to be careful. We got manager of Walmart in here now. I don't be careful what I'm saying. Home Depot. That's why. Anybody work for Home Depot? But why was lights put out? Why was that ever started? Matter of fact, it started with candles way back in the day, put outside to show that Jesus Christ was a light that had come to a dark world. Boy, aren't we thankful that we have hope in Jesus today? That we have hope that one day he is coming back and that he's going to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. But also, number two, it is a reminder that there is help in Jesus Christ. He will help you every day of your life. Pastor says this all the time, and I think sometimes we get used to hearing it, and sometimes when you're the pastor and you say the same thing, people just hear, boom, 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 boom. But I want you to be reminded, one thing Pastor says, that, not one thing, when you pay attention to everything, but this one thing I'm using from a sermon, is Pastor says he starts every Monday. You can start every Monday, start over. You can start every day over again and over again. Why? Because you sleep that night, right? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes when? In the morning, because God's given you his mercies are new every day. And every day we can wake up and start a brand new day. Why? Because that day star rises. That star rises, the bright and morning star rises every day. If you're saved, He arises every day in your life to remind you He's there to give you hope, but also to give you help. I was thinking about our firefighters that we always say we're one phone call away. Somebody's worst day, we get to meet people on their worst day. We get to see people's houses burned down. We get to see people in car wrecks. We get to see people pass away. We get to see all those things. But you know what makes the difference in some people's lives is when they call that 911, they know help's on the way. And they trust in that help, though they don't know when it's going to get there, but they know it's coming. Christian, can I assure you that Jesus is just one prayer away? You need help, you call. And by the way, He may not show up ASAP, but He's going to show up right on time. And He's going to help you. If you're here this morning and you don't have hope, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here today and you know that you're saved, know one thing, He is your help. And every day can be a new day for you. You say, man, I sure did mess up today. Ask Him for forgiveness and start over again. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You, God, that You are our hope and our help. Thank You, dear God, that, Lord, without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have no hope or help. Father, I thank You for that root and offspring of David that You've given to us. Lord, I thank You so much that He is the bright and morning star. And Lord, one day He will rise for the last time and we'll ever be with Him. We'll never leave that bright and morning star, and we're thankful for that hope that we have. God, use this invitation. If there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, they don't have hope. Lord, today they'd come down and get it right. Lord, maybe somebody needs help today. Let them see that You are their helper. I love You, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to